Our sermon for the week of April 5th, 2026, Easter Sunday, is based on 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And the theme of our sermon is, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. From 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Brothers, I am going to call your attention to the gospel that I preached to you. You received it and you took your stand on it. You are also being saved by that gospel that was expressed in the words I preached to you, if you keep your hold on it, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to over 500 brothers at the same time, most of whom are still alive, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared also to me, the stillborn child, so to speak. For I am the least of the apostles, and I am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted God's church. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not ineffective. On the contrary, I worked more than all of them, and yet it wasn't my doing, but it was the grace of God which was with me that did it. So whether it is I or they, that is what we preach, and that is what you believed. The word of the Lord. I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. We confess those words at the end of the Apostles' Creed. But by the time we get to the end of the Creed, are you already running on autopilot? Do these words mean anything to you, or are they just sentences we say every week after the sermon? This is our confession. This is what we believe. And it's more than a Facebook post or a TikTok video, what our opinion is on any given matter. This is our confession of unity in the faith handed down to us from of old. So how much does it really matter? Sure, we get to celebrate a special service today. The church is beautifully decorated. Maybe you've got a nice family meal waiting at home and then the day off work tomorrow. But in the scheme of your life, how much does this day really matter? That's really the main question that the importance of this day hinges on. What difference does it make whether he rose or not? If Christ has not been raised, the good news of the gospel is not all that good. If Jesus was just a man who died, he simply becomes a teacher or a martyr. But a martyr for what cause? Over the last two millennia, has the world really become a better place? Has human nature really changed? We still see wars and hatred. In fact, our increase in technology fills our screens with videos of violence and images of the unimaginable. We see broken families, ruined by the same things that families have always been snapped in half by. We see depression at sky-high levels, even as many will point to the industriousness of our age and claim that there's never been a better time in history to be alive. And even though our doctors and nurses try everything that they can, we still see death. It's no wonder that those who claim to follow Christ but believe the resurrection is nothing more than a metaphor live with such despair about the state of the world. It seems his martyrdom didn't work. It seems his cause for peace has failed. If Christ has not been raised, sinners remain trapped. Sure, Jesus had spoken, it is finished, but how could we know the power of God that conquered sin? How would we know that the check cleared? How would we know this sacrifice was accepted by God? Victory was certainly not on the lips or the minds of those who watched him die. If the tomb was the end of the story, there was no rejoicing for his followers, just scattering, hiding, and disavowing this fraud. Where do we find the disciples on the night of Easter, locked in a room, terrified? "It is finished" gave no confidence to them as they grieved the loss of their leader and regretted ever following him. Worst of all, though, was the fact that they still believed they were trapped in their sins. If there is no resurrection of Jesus, our guilt is still alive. Paul writes just a few verses after our section here, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins." And if we are trapped in our sins, then death reigns over us. And if death reigns over us, does anything that we do in this life have any lasting meaning? Or are we just lives hurtling quickly toward the grave? If Christ has not been raised, the scriptures are untrustworthy. All the promises of God hinge on the historic resurrection. Even Jesus himself predicted and promised his resurrection. If the events of Easter are not historical facts, Jesus is a liar, and nothing he says should ever be believed. Our Bibles should be thrown out as worthless storybooks that do little more than moralize us into a set of rules that we can never keep. And there is no evidence of a loving God, no evidence of the forgiveness of sins, and not even evidence of a divine creator. All fictions, all fairy tales. But the tomb is empty. The strips of linen are folded up where his body should be. He is risen. And we don't just know he's risen because his body is gone. We know he's risen because he showed himself, resurrected from the dead, to many, many witnesses. And those witnesses held to that truth and confessed it even under the threat of death. If all of this was just a finely concocted lie, at least one of Jesus' disciples would have outed it. But many were put to death, swearing to the truth that Jesus had risen. Why? Because they saw it with their own eyes, and they were willing to stake their lives and their eternal being on that fact. Paul shows us that Jesus' resurrection was not simply an event on the calendar of history. No, this was the fullness of God's long and complex plan to rescue the world. Like the greatest Rube Goldberg machine ever, God had made sure that everything in his plan of salvation happened at the exact right time and in the exact right place. The resurrection proves that the Bible is not a book of stories, but a record of promises kept. Because Jesus rose, we know that every word in Scripture is from God and true. Just as the Scriptures are void of meaning if their promises hit a dead end before the resurrection, they are also filled with meaning because Jesus rose. Every promise pointing ahead to a seemingly impossible resurrection of God's anointed finds fulfillment on Easter morning. And if this promise is kept, all of God's promises are as good as gold. This means sinners are actually forgiven for their sins, no longer locked in the dungeon of despair. Jesus died for the sins of the world, and his resurrection proves that those sins have been paid for. But is this the case for me? Does the resurrection of Jesus actually mean that all of my mistakes are forgiven? It's that same question that Paul wrestled with. He describes himself here as a stillborn child. This is intense. It sounds hyperbolic, but it's the truth. spiritually, he was dead when he lived as a Pharisee. He had worked hard to climb the ladder of success. He was zealous in his persecution of those he believed to be heretics and their false Lord, Jesus. But Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus. Not in a drive-by gang shooting to get back at Paul for killing so many Christians. No, he stopped him to change his heart. Paul had worked so hard to make himself pleasing to God, but that had only pushed him further and further away into spiritual death. But now he was given life through the resurrected Jesus, who had paid for all of his sins, even Paul's sins of murder and hatred of God's Messiah. If you've been striving to make yourself right with God, but only found the voice of sin saying guilty, know that the message of Easter is not a message of your work. And if you feel shame, that shame of sin eating away at your heart, sins past and present, look and see what the resurrected Lord brings you. He brings you life with God. Not just when your time on this earth comes to a close, but life with Him right now. He has taken you from a stillborn child and breathed the breath of life, eternal life, into you. And every promise He gives to His people in His word, it applies to you as well. Sins forgiven. Life eternal. Peace with God. This is the good news of the gospel. And this news couldn't be any better. It's why we don't just monotonously read the creed. We confess it. We proclaim it. We join our voices with those Old Testament believers who knew it was coming, and with the women who saw it first, and with all those who would come to see the risen Jesus firsthand or through the testimony of Scripture. We join to say, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Why? Because Christ is risen. He's risen indeed. Alleluia.